Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudiraye. The reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Text Number 4. Tamaha Bratharam Devi Kripana Karunam Sati Shnushneyam Tavakalyana Striyam Mahantum Arhasi Tamaha Bratharam Devi Kripana Karunam Sati Shnusheyam Tava Kalyana Shnusheyam Tava Kalyana Striyam Mahantum Arhasi Tamaha Prataram Devi Kripana Karunam Sati Shnusheyam Tava Kalyana Striyam Mahantum Arhasi Tamaha Prataram Devi Shneyam Tava Kalyana Prataram Devi Kripana Karanam Sati Shnusheyam Tava Kalyana Sriyama Vaishnavis Tamaha Prataram Devi Kripana Karanam Sati Shnusheyam Tava Kalyana Pantamahasi unto Kamsa. Aha said, Bhrataram, her brother, Devi, Mother Devaki, Kripana, helplessly, Karunam, piteously, Sati, the chaste lady, Shnushnaiyam Tava, this child will be your daughter-in-law, the wife of your future son. Kalyana, O all auspicious one. Striyam, a woman. Ma, not. Hantum, to kill. Arhasi, you deserve. Translation. Devaki helplessly, piteously appealed to Kamsa. My dear brother, all good fortune to you. Don't kill this girl. She will be your daughter-in-law. Indeed, it is unworthy of you to kill a woman. Please repeat. Devaki helplessly, piteously appealed to Kamsa. My dear brother, all good fortune unto you. Don't kill this girl. She will be your daughter-in-law. Indeed, it is unworthy of you to kill a woman. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaha. Kamsa had previously excused Devaki because he thought that a woman should not be killed, especially when pregnant. But now, by the influence of Maya, he was prepared to kill a woman. Not only a woman, but a small, helpless, newborn child. Devaki wanted to save her brother from this terrible, sinful act. Therefore, she told him, "Don't be so atrocious as to kill a female child. Let there be all good fortune for you." Demons can do anything for their personal benefit, not considering what is pious or vicious. But Devaki, on the contrary, although safe because she had already given birth to her own son, Krishna, was anxious to save the daughter of someone else. This was natural for her. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Nabhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Putale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Parshavana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Pravade Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambhore Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhomeshri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktakyam namami bhakta shaktikam he krishna karuna sindo dinabando jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute jayatam surato pangor mama manda matirgati matsarva swapadam bojo radha madana mohano divya brindaranya kalpadrumadha srimad ratnagara singhasanasto srimad radha shila govindanevo prishtadibhi sevyamano smarami Sriman Rasarasarambhi Vamshivatatastita Karshan Venusvanir Gopir Gopinatha Shriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Tamaha Brataram Devi, Kripaya, Karunam Sati, Shnusheyam Tavakalyana, Sriyam Mahantum Arhasi. Devaki helplessly, piteously appealed to Kamsa. My dear brother, all good fortune unto you. Don't kill this girl. She will be your daughter-in-law. Indeed, it is unworthy of you to kill a woman. There's a verse in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. It starts off with the two words, kim kim, karma vismarantiha, which means that in this world, iha, kim kim, what is there that cannot be forgotten by the power of maya? Mama maya mohitaha. If one is affected by the Lord's maya, then one can forget anything. When I went to Hong Kong for the first time, I heard of a saying, I think it came from the British, that the people there can eat anything in the sky except their kite, anything in the water except their junk, which means those boats that go back and forth across the harbor. They call them a junk. And anything on the land except themselves. And Narottam Das Thakur says, when living entities become affected by the modes of material nature, they eat many different kinds of abominable things. And therefore the question comes, kim kim karma vismarantiha, in this world, what cannot be forgotten because of the power of maya? And on the other side, in this verse, we see Devaki, who Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, was naturally compassionate and even was feeling bad for Kamsa because she could understand that if he carried out this heinous act of killing this child, she would be more and more implicated. So even in this situation, she became compassionate towards him and wanted good fortune for him. So was trying to talk him out of it, even though Prabhupada explains that her own son, she knew, was out of difficulty. She was also trying to save someone else's child. And Srila Prabhupada says this is natural for her. And it's natural for devotees because when one becomes purified, as is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, yes yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinshana saravara gunas tatra samasite sura harava bhakta sukhato mahadguna manoratena sati davato bihi. that all good qualities manifest themselves, natural good qualities. It's natural. Once the lower modes of material nature are purified from the heart of a devotee, he or she then develops good qualities. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. By the process of bhakti, by engaging in bhakti yoga, one develops all good qualities. And also, the Bhagavatam says, Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayat yashuvairagyam jnanam chayarahaitukam. Just by performing devotional service, naturally one gets knowledge and detachment from the world by the direct process of bhakti. And if one doesn't practice bhakti, then there's no estimation of how bewildered one can become. And therefore, Prabhupada mentions in several of his purports, and Prahlad Maharaj himself says, that along with practicing bhakti, one must be careful to not fall back down again into Maya and become bewildered, because she has two potencies. One potency is the throwing potency, and the other is covering. And Prabhupada describes how one comes to the perfectly good association of Vaishnavas and is in an ideal situation, but then by the influence of Maya, things, this is not very nice. I'll go away somewhere else. And then, going away somewhere else, one thinks, although one is depraved and becomes degraded by the influence of Maya, one thinks that I'm fine, I'm doing okay. And Maya is so subtle that one may not even know that one's in Maya. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear that this material universe is characterized by kulakam. It means that even the great demigods in this world are bewildered by Krishna's Maya. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam 14th chapter, where I quoted the first verse from, where there's a discussion between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj about the power of the Lord's illusory energy, because Brahma himself had just become bewildered. Possible to leave the front door open too? Got nothing against air, right? Brahma became bewildered because his power, although practically unimaginable to people in this world, compared to Krishna's, is insignificant. And when a person of lesser power tries to overcome a person of greater power, that person of lesser power becomes bewildered, as Brahma did. And after Brahma, trying to bewilder Krishna, came to his senses and saw how powerful Krishna was, he said, others may say they know Krishna, but after seeing his influence, I can say I don't know anything about him, even though I'm the first living entity in this universe. And he also said the only way to understand him is by his mercy. That unless one has a trace of the mercy from Krishna's lotus feet, then one can't understand him at all. So this is a simple dichotomy. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Daivahi eshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame veye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. A verse that one can take to heart based on all the evidence from the Srimad Bhagavatam that we're hearing. And that is that crossing over Maya is impossible. Krishna says difficult, but we take it as impossible. Unless one surrenders to Krishna. And if one truly surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna says it's possible. It's easy to overcome, in fact. And so the formula as given throughout the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam for coming to pure Krishna consciousness, for becoming freed from Maya, is to surrender to Krishna. And Brahma describes in his prayers, after being bewildered, that one should engage one's body, one's mind. Jnana prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyavartam stanestita shutikatam tanuvan manobir I prayaso jita jito pyasitaistrilokyam. Engage one's body, mind, speech in the service of the Supreme Personality of God. And don't try to speculate to understand him, but be a humble servant. And stanestita shutigatam tanuvan manobir. Stay in your position, whatever it may be, and submissively hear about Krishna from the authorities. And then he says that although Krishna is unconquerable, even though his Maya is unconquerable as well, one who is in that surrendered position and hears about Krishna, stanestita shutigatam tanuvan mano, here ye prayaso jita jito pyasitaistrilokyam, that person actually conquers Krishna. The ajita becomes jita, because one who surrenders to Krishna becomes very dear to Krishna, and Krishna becomes even submissive to his devotees. Otherwise, it's impossible to overcome Maya. Even in the story of the Brahma Vimohana Lila, even Balaram could not understand how Krishna's Maya was acting at first, because the Brahma had stolen away the cowherd boys and the calves. Krishna had recreated them. And therefore, because the boys and the calves were now direct expansions of Krishna, who went back into the village, everyone in the village was infinitely more affectionate towards them, all the parents. And Balaram noticed later that the cows, even the calves had been weaned off the cows long ago, but the cows on top of the hill ran down to greet them and were licking them as if they wanted to eat them up. They were so affectionate. And Balaram began to wonder what's going on in Vrindavan. And he couldn't understand it until Krishna revealed it to him. And Srila Prabhupada explains that even Balaram, Krishna's first expansion, can't understand everything that Krishna's doing, because his Maya potency, both Mahamaya and Yogamaya, are insurmountable. So the only position of safety in this world is taking the surrendered position, surrendering to Krishna, and taking a submissive position. And then, as I mentioned before, and now I just remembered the verse, Brahma says, Atapite deva padam bujatvaya prasad aleshanugrahite evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko picharam bachinvan. And that is, Brahma says, if you can get just a trace of mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from his lotus feet, then you can understand him. But without that, you can go on for many, many lifetimes trying in many ways, and you won't understand anything about him at all. So in essence, there's a simplicity to bhakti that's missed in all other practices. And it's natural for living entities to follow a leader. And Krishna is the best leader. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement means showing everybody in the world the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of what he looks like, and explaining the process of how to surrender to him. And actually, people are inclined towards it because they're inclined to surrender somewhere, because that's the nature of the living entity, being tiny. And given the right information, people can actually direct their intelligence and their hearts towards the process of surrender to Krishna in their own way. And even Krishna from within the heart will guide them. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm there within the heart and I direct the living entity who has some sincerity about finding me. I'm always impressed by how Gajendra, even though Prabhupada says he was a big fatty animal and he's an elephant, because he was in distress, he called out, and at the time he didn't know who he was calling out to. He was just sincerely calling for help. And the demigods listened to his prayers and they thought, these aren't for us, these are for the Supreme. And Krishna went and saved him. And if anybody has that sincerity of heart to surrender to Krishna, then they can be saved. And Krishna will inspire them from within the heart. Prabhupada speaks about that a lot in the purport to 10.10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayantite. That even if one's not very intelligent, can't take advantage of a spiritual master, but is very sincere, Krishna helps and guides that person from within the heart. So about Maya, this Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, just sort of a side note, it's interesting how Krishna's devotees are bewildered by the Yoga Maya. And then in the material world, everyone's bewildered by Mahamaya. As explained in the Bhagavatam, there are three categories, major potencies, the Hladini Shakti, Samvit, and Sandini Shaktis in the spiritual world, through which Krishna's various pastimes go on and the backdrop for his pastimes go on. And the material world, being a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, then has these same energies, only they become retrograde. And they appear as sattva, rajas, and tamas. And the bewildering potency then affects the living entities in this world. However, proximity, being in the material energy, doesn't mean that you have to be bewildered by it. If one has fortified one's heart by the process of hearing, as Prabhupada says, through knowledge and practice, you can attain anything. And you could also attain the impossible, which is getting out of Maya, even while you're in this world. That you can be unaffected by Maya, even when you're in the midst of the most disturbing circumstances, where Maya seems to have her greatest stronghold. There's a very interesting sequence in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vidura is at home and gets into an argument with Duryodhan, who was an enemy of the Pandavas, and he was criticizing, not just criticizing, but threatening to kill Vidura because Vidura was a friend of the Pandavas. These kinds of things come up sometimes. People get at odds with one another. However, in this situation, Srila Prabhupada explains how Duryodhan was affected by Mahamaya at the same time that Vidura was being affected by Yogamaya. Because Duryodhan, who was on the wrong side of the issue, just became angry and overwhelmed, whereas Vidura suddenly realized that he had an opportunity to completely break off his ties with the family, which is not easy to do. It takes a long time to get free from these kinds of things. Even the Goswamis, I heard this morning, Prabhupada was described how Sanatan Goswami, he did his due diligence to go back, make sure that his family was taken care of before he went and surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. But Vidura was waiting for this opportunity, and when he heard these harsh words from Duryodhan, he walked out of the house, and he knew within his heart that he was going to go on pilgrimage and just leave everything behind and completely absorb himself in Krishna consciousness. He's waiting for that opportunity. And then Krishna revealed it to him through his internal potency, the Yogamaya. And so Prabhupada wonders at how Yogamaya and Mahamaya are working at the same time, simultaneously. So in the surrendered position, if one, for instance, takes up the order of one's spiritual master as one's life and soul, then one can remain in a surrendered position anywhere in the world and be unaffected by Maya. Narayana paraksarve nakutas chana pibhiti swarga pavarga narahishu apituliyarta darshinaha, as described in the section of the Bhagavatam about Chitraketu. Now, Lord Shiva spoke this verse to his wife, because she had just cursed Chitraketu. But Lord Shiva was telling about how the devotees of the Lord aren't affected, even if you send them to hell. They will go on doing their service, and they see Swarga, heaven, or hell, Venice Beach, as being equal. They're the same. There's one thing they see, and that's opportunity for service. Service and surrender. And as they go on doing their service, there's no situation that they cannot tolerate. Just as much as one who's in Maya, there's no limit to how degraded such a person can become. So for a devotee, there's no limit to how exalted he or she can become, even in the most dire circumstances. The person can become elevated if one fixes one's heart on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even develops this sentiment that I'm going to surrender, even if one can't quite do it yet. If one develops that inclination within one's heart, that's proven. And you don't mind me just going on like this, do you? Because I'll stop in a second. We can take reflections. But I was just thinking about Bali Maharaj and how he was he was a demon. He was a demoniac family. And when Vamandev came into the assembly of demons where Bali Maharaj was performing the sacrifice, within Bali's heart, Bali Maharaj's heart, he was attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he wanted to surrender, but the circumstances were not favorable at the time. As he was surrounded by all his demoniac friends, he was doing a yajna, and so it would have been unbecoming for him to suddenly surrender to the Lord, but that was his intention within the heart. And later on, Shukadeva Goswami says that the demigods were surprised by how much mercy Bali Maharaj got. Appreciate what Maharaj was, and Shukadeva Goswami explained that because Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardhan, he knows what the feeling is of in the heart of the devotee, and therefore he rewarded Bali Maharaj so much because his inclination was to surrender to him. And even as one goes through one's life, that sentiment for surrender to Krishna will save one in all circumstances. Supada mulam vajata priyasya tanya pavesha hare priyasaha vikarma yachchot patitam katanchid tunoti sarvam priti sannivishta. Karbhajana Muni says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if one is in this surrendered position, he's very dear to Krishna. Supada mulam vajata priyasya tanya pavasya, the bhava of the surrendered devotee is to give up everything for Krishna. Tyaktanya bhavasya hare, for Hari, priyesaha, therefore he's dear to Hari. And then vikarma yachchot patitam katanchit, if he makes a misstep, if he falls into vikarma somehow or other while he's performing devotional service because he's in the mood of surrender, then dhunoti sarvam hridi sannivishtaha, Krishna purifies his heart. He simply keeps going with the process of devotional service because Krishna has personally entered that devotee's heart. He will rectify difficult situation the devotee has created for himself by this vikarma. So I was just thinking of the difference in this verse between Devaki, who is mentioned here as naturally compassionate towards Kamsa. And Kamsa, who is unlimitedly depraved in his quest for killing everybody who might get in his way of sense gratification. And so, just a final word about Kamsa. Earlier, as you all read, because you're reading this progressively, Kamsa is the icon for fear, Prabhupada says. And that one has to overcome this fear of Kamsa, who represents the fearsome condition of the material world, by surrendering, and also by overcoming the various anartas that hold us back. And the other six children that were born to Devaki before Krishna appeared were called the Shadgarbha Asuras. Garbha Asura means the demons born in the womb of Devaki. And they represent kama, krodha, loba, moha, mada, matsarya. Dangerous, these enemies that hold us back from actually surrendering to Krishna. Like matsarya is envy, as an example, and Jiva Goswami defines envy as the inability to tolerate the eminence of another. Even of devotees, one can't appreciate their good qualities. So one can't advance without ridding oneself of these various asuras. So the killing of these Shadgarbha asuras is indicative, Prabhupada said, of how one must surrender and then painstakingly go through the process of devotional service to remove these various obstacles on our path so that we can become completely free from any of the anomalies that cover our devotion to Krishna. And now let's take some reflections or some inspiration of a new direction to go, because we have a few minutes. Anything that you heard so far that stuck in your mind that we can expand upon. And Rameshwar Prabhu has his hand up.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for that class. When I first heard this verse, immediately I started thinking, okay, Kamsa is killing this baby. And this is 5,000 years ago, and now here we are, and in America, which has become now the most degraded place practically on earth, if you try to give birth, there's a 50% chance that your loving parents will kill you before you emerge from the womb. So look how things have progressed. And Prabhupada predicted that as this Kali Yuga gets much worse, the demonic nature of people will be so bad that they will consider abortion to be a wonderful activity because it will be one of their most tasty foodstuffs. Prabhupada predicted that. We cannot even imagine what the future of Kali Yuga is. So our movement is supposed to try to stop this. For 10,000 years, we're supposed to create this golden age. And I was thinking, this godlessness is stopped by the Sankirtan Jagga. It is the only thing in this Kali Yuga that can awaken godly feelings in the heart. Prabhupada credited mass book distribution for bringing down godless communism. And the same thing could happen with this godless abortion. If we go back to, or not go back, we are there, but if we push mass book distribution, the atmosphere of the world will become so spiritualized that godly sentiments can awaken in people. And they will, by that godliness, at least temporarily, give up killing their own babies. And we can hold back the influence of Kali in this way. I don't know of anything else except this type of jagya that can hold back Kali Yuga and awaken godliness. So that's what I was thinking.
Yesterday, I had the privilege of being at the book booth next to Jai Chaitanya, Prabhu, and I was watching him distribute books. And several people who had met him previously up at the Griffith Observatory came over, and they were like old friends, saying, "Oh, yes, we got a bunch of these books up at the observatory," and they were eager to get more books. I saw one couple carry away a huge bag full of books. Somehow he inspired him to do that. And just watching how, when we speak of mass yajna, it happens one person at a time. A lot of people, each doing a little bit, or each doing as much as they can. But in these yajnas, like as we had yesterday, it's an opportunity for everyone to see firsthand how people are touched. I'm sure everyone who was out yesterday noticed how people heard the holy name or their interactions. We saw one woman who had received one of the book packs along the way and then taken the Jagannath sticker and put it on her hat. And then when I was watching when the carts came down at the bottom of the hill where all our Christian brethren were waiting for us to encourage us about the strictness of Scripture in following carefully the process of devotional service. And she was enlivened by them, and even though it was apparently her first time coming in contact with devotees, she started running around them and scolding them, and it appeared as if she was one of the devotees because she had now had this Jagannath sticker on her hat. And I was just seeing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process of deputizing everybody. Basically, he said, "I order every person in this world to take up the Sankirtan movement." He said that. And actually, it doesn't take much, because the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada says, is a manifestation of his internal potency. And Prabhupada said, it is by that potency that one comes to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. In other words, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes an edict that take up the Sankirtan movement, then anyone in the world, using just a little God-given intelligence, can take it. And even if they begin on the first day, put a Jagannath sticker on their hat and start helping the Sankirtan movement, then they become connected to Lord Chaitanya in a significant way. This is the beauty of the Sankirtan movement. When we were going door to door in Denver, Colorado, we went to a very poor section of town, which is always fun because people are so open, and Prabhupada mentions this in the Krishna book, that poor people don't mind you coming in. Rich people don't like you stepping on their porch for some reason and tend to call the police. But poor people invite you in. We had so many people at dinner time there, and just they would be eating, and they just said, "Come on in, door's open." We walk in and talk to them. But there was one man in particular came out of his house, and he saw what we were doing, and he wanted to help us. He didn't know what it was exactly, but he just saw, here's some people that look like they believe in God, and they say they do. So he started telling us which doors to go to. Go to that one. And then he got so enlivened, he was taking us all over the neighborhood. Go get that guy. So appreciating that there's this law of accelerating acceleration in physics, where the faster you go, the faster you can go. And we can actually build this kind of momentum, the Sankirtan movement, by doing the yajna ourselves. This is one important point. I'm just going off of the energy of Rameshwar Prabhu to take this conversation in this direction. But just that it's altogether possible, I was thinking about this yesterday, to make this a significant impact on the world through the distribution of Krishna consciousness, especially through literature. Because literature, as Prabhupada said, penetrates very deeply. We dropped a lot of bombs yesterday, and they go off in all different directions. People carry them away rather innocently, not knowing exactly what they're transporting. And they take them home, and they end up going into people's homes and into their cars and so forth. But then, if you see directly what happens, the several people I noticed who had already gotten books from Jai Chaitanya up at his booth had then come back and seemed enlivened. to go the next step, get cookbooks, and they're asking more questions and so forth. Vijay Prabhu, you had a point. Please go ahead.
A little reflection. Rameshwar Prabhu mentioned how mass book distribution is very important in our society. And in Silicon Valley, they have an incredible mass book distribution program going up there. Generally, the temples where they're doing big in book distribution, there's devotees living in the temple. It's kind of Silicon Valley. They're the number three temple in the country, and not one person lives in the temple. They have about 200 book distributors there that go out regularly, and they're the number three temple in the country last year. And every year we have a book distribution award ceremony in Mayapur. And Vaisheshika was there, but he left early. So we give out awards for temples that are very exemplary, and this is the third place award for...
Well, that's going to get me fired up, third place.
With 98,600 book points in ISKCON of Silicon Valley. Vaisheshika. And some Mahaprasadam as well.
I like these kind of reflections. Maybe I'll get more stuff if I keep doing.
You got to be there.
Thank you very much, Vijay Prabhu. More reflections? Anything that you heard that stuck in your mind? Or one thing that you saw yesterday during the festival that impressed you? Okay, give them the microphones because people online listening, they want to hear what you have to say. The band.
I mean, the way when they came around the corner to the Christians, they turned up the volume 100%. Oh, the walking band. Yeah, that was just through the percussion.
Yeah, I was watching and I noticed that the it seemed like a normal American parade at the front. Because people heard these rhythms like, oh, yeah, that's like high school or, in college, like my alma mater, when the football team's coming out or something like that. And then all of a sudden, Hare Krishna.
Right, right.
It's kind of like the tip of the sword, right?
Yeah, the devotees were chanting along with the nice melodies that they were doing. So it was perfect.
Yeah, it was very
good. Hearing mundane percussion. They have this great percussion going, and then the devotees are chanting along with them because they're doing the certain mantra.
I noticed that also.
Oh, it was great. So you got to do it every year.
I mean, it's only three. Yeah, it's only a few thousand dollars for a band like that. It helped the book distribution, yeah. What else? Other reflections? Okay, right over here. Yes, question about Sankirtan.
Sankirtan, as I understand, is congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Vijayate. So I was wondering how, book distribution became Sankirtan.
What a nice question. Well, this is called what we call literary kirtan. As in the forest of Naimisarnya, and then later on we have the discussions that go on between the great sages. Srila Vyasadeva especially wrote all these things down so that sound vibration is in writing. And that way it can be transferred from one place to another. And the vibration itself in written form then goes out into the world in ways that penetrate in many ways. Tadvag visargo janatago viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadyavatyapi namanyanantasya yashon kitani yat shinvanti gayanti grananti sadhava. Narada Muni describes the power of transcendental literature. He says that it's meant to create a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. And namanyanantasya means that it's full of the names. Namanya Anantasya. There are unlimited names of the Lord within that literature, and that's what does it. It's the instructions and also the hymns, and that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. When one's wandering throughout the universe, bewildered by Maya, and then meets a devotee physician, he gets two things, Mahaprabhu said. One is instructions, and the other is hymns. And those hymns are written down. Namanyanantasya yashon kitani yat shinvanti gayanti gurananti sadhava. And they're meant to be heard by people. So they come out of the book. So Prabhupada equated the Harinam Sankirtan chanting with book distribution because it's literary kirtan. And when questioned, given this exact same question, Prabhupada wrote about it in detail. He said they're the same. Why differentiate between the two? He said we're speaking these mantras. They're being transcribed into written form, and then they're being distributed. But then he said they're the same, but of the two, one of them is called the Brihat Kirtan. It's greater kirtan. And that's when it's written down. And why did he say that? Because his spiritual master said it also. And that is that it's louder. What does louder mean? And that's one thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasized. Haridasa Thakur emphasized. The holy name should be spoken loudly. So what is this volume? Volume means that it goes out and stays out longer. And so Prabhupada gave the example when asked this question and then differentiated between the Harinam Kirtan and the book distribution, which he said go on nicely together. They should go together. But he said of the two, the book distribution is louder. Because, and then he gave a specific example. He said that the daughter and son of one of the United States presidents recently at that time bought a book. And then they entered into the White House. He said, you cannot take your Harinam Sankirtan into the White House. But that vibration, the same vibration, no difference, has now entered into the White House. Because the books, actually a book is a container. And what does it contain? It contains these seeds from the spiritual world. And when we distribute a book, the book goes out into the world and the seeds, the idea seeds, which are not ordinary ideas, they're ideas that come from the infinite intelligence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially we described Srila Vyasadeva. When Mahaprabhu was talking about the power of books, he said, Maya Mugda Jivara Nahi Swata Krishna Gyan Jivare Krishna Kula Krishna Veda Puran. Krishna Veda Puran, in his unlimited mercy, wrote down all these mantras. He put it into writing just so it could go and interrupt the trance. Mayic trance of the living entities in this world. Maya mukta jivara nahi swata